The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Good afternoon, Bees. It's great to be here again. And yes, of
excitement.
Course. Yeah, all this excitement, you know, this fire drill. I didn't even know what was going on when I stepped into the building.
Okay.
But I mean, today we are actually discussing, you know, stress, mental health, all these things. And I guess it comes into play today.
Yeah, that was very stressful.
It was. I guess it was very stressful, but you know, I've learned over the years to kind of take everything lightly, and everything will work itself out.
Yeah, but sometimes you know, easier said than done.
It's easier said than done. You are completely correct. Yeah. But for me, if I were to take this on today, I would stress out about, my gosh, the show is going to be late and all these things. So I said, you know what? The show is still going to go on and we're still going to have a good topic. We're still going to discuss things. And of course, yes, we will be discussing mental health because May is actually Mental Health Awareness Month.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't even understand exactly what mental health is. We still have to break that stigma, that barrier between us and understanding mental health. Because, I mean, of course, we can't see it, you know. Right. When we can see physical things, physical ailments like the effects of diabetes or the effects of high blood pressure, then we can say for sure tangibly, yes, we do see the effects of these things on our physical health. But when it comes to our mental health, a lot of people tend to shy away from it because, there's a stigma attached to it. But it is important for us to talk about it because it impacts us holistically.
Yeah.
So today we are going to talk about mental health, how it impacts our physical bodies, things that we can do to de-stress or manage our while we are talking about a specific topic. I always want the listeners to know we can discuss anything. So even though we're talking mental health, we can talk about your physical health too. So call in, ask your questions, send in your WhatsApps. Even if you have a story you want to tell the other listeners, please call in. We can have a conversation and I'm sure it will be great.
All right, great. Of course, our numbers are 627-3223 and 625-2257. Feel free to WhatsApp us at 306-1065. You could also WhatsApp our sister stations, Sangit 106.1 and Sky 99.5, and they will forward your questions right to us here in studio. Now, you know, in Trinidad, they say it have more mad people outside than inside.
I know we definitely do say that, but I think that when we get to the point where something is actually diagnosable, it then becomes an actual problem. So, you know, a lot of us do suffer with mental health issues. In fact, one in four persons actually has a diagnosable mental health issue, meaning that if there were four people in this room, one of us actually may have something like depression, anxiety. You never know, you know, and there are things that can come seasonally as well.
Yeah.
And when I did psychiatry, we learned so much about this, you know.
Right.
So we have to practice all different lines of medicine at a point. Mm. So definitely you learn that there's so much more to it than meets the eye.
Yeah.
And things can come seasonally. So, I mean, at Christmas time, some people may feel a little more depressed, a little more sad.
Mm-hmm.
And it can just come with the moods. It can come with the seasons. Yeah. It can come with the weather.
Losing someone like death.
Exactly.
Could be,
especially around that point. When it comes back every year, people do get into that that feeling of grief again, and they do remember things do come up. So I mean, we can't go around every single day being completely happy about every single thing that happens, but I mean, how we react to things will determine how things turn out, right? And yes, you can be sad, yes, you can be angry, yes, you can be frustrated, but the actions that you take based on those things may not be the actions that you want to take. So that's why it's important to know how to manage these emotions and how to manage our stress as well.
All right. Is talking to yourself a bad thing?
I personally, it depends. Mm-hmm. If yourself is talking back to you, then I mean something. If you know, you're watching in the mirror and yourself is talking back to you, then something is wrong.
Okay.
Unless you are actually, you know, speaking to yourself.
All right, so let's explain the connection between mental health and physical health in simple terms.
Right, so before we get into that, I just want to talk to the listeners a little bit about what mental health actually is. Because, I mean, yes, we hear health. Yes, we hear mental. Of course, it means the mind is being healthy. And it refers to not just our mind, but our emotional, psychological, as well as our social well-being. So the way that we interact with others also falls into our mental health. It affects how we think, how we feel, how we act upon certain things, and it also determines how we handle stress. So remember I said that managing stress, managing your emotions becomes very important in your physical realm as well. So it is part of your mental health, learning how to manage stress, learning how to relate to others, as well as make decisions for your everyday life. Mental health itself is very important at every stage of life, from childhood to adolescence to adulthood. So it is important that any listeners with children also take into consideration that these things become important, you know, as soon as a child is growing up. So even as a toddler, it is important to help them know how to manage stress, to help them know how to manage their anger, how to manage their frustration in a positive outlet. Now, good mental health itself means more than just the absence of a mental disorder. So, you know how we were speaking about people who are admitted for psychiatric conditions earlier? And yes, those people have diagnosable mental disorders, but it is more than just that. It's more than just the absence of that or the absence of any type of mental disabilities. It involves being able to cope with any challenges that life throws to you. So this curveball that we got today with the fire drill, that is a mini challenge that life is throwing at us, and how we cope with it.
Yeah, because some people were like panicking, let's get up. And some people were just like, cool.
Yeah. So some people
even wanted to stay in the building.
Exactly. So it becomes, you know, up to you how you manage that stress or how you manage a trigger as well. But of course, some people do need help with that. And it, like you said, it is easier said than done. So it is something that you actively have to be practicing. Building strong relationships, leading a productive and fulfilling life, all these things come with proper mental health. So a lot of factors can affect your mental health, and these things would include, you know, genetics, any type of brain chemistry, what neurotransmitters you have running through your brain, your life experiences, trauma, and any family history of mental health problems as well. So when we're talking about mental health and physical health, mental health and physical health, we know, are definitely deeply intertwined. Our thoughts, emotions, behaviors, they will all affect our physical well-being. For example, remember I always say stress, anxiety, depression. Yes, they are mental conditions, but they can lead to physical symptoms as well. Things like headaches or high blood pressure. People with stress tend to suffer with high blood pressure more than people who don't. While physical health problems can also impact our mental state. So it will create a vicious cycle that affects our health holistically. So it is very important that the both of them are balanced equally. And I don't mean balanced in the negative way where your physical health is deteriorating and then your mental health deteriorates. We want to have our physical health in check so our mental health can be in check. And then we also want to have our mental health in check so that we can get our physical health in check. So it kind of works together in tandem. You can't really separate the both of them. Because if you've noticed, people who lack a lot of proper mental health support, or people who are not, they're not versed in taking care of their stress adequately or functioning adequately, they tend not to be in proper physical health as well. So it is important for us to take the two of them together and combine them so that we can have a holistic approach to our health care.
All right, we do have a question coming in here based on something else. Good afternoon. My mother is overweight and hypertensive. Her mobility has been deteriorating lately, and she has pain in her legs when she walks. I was wondering if her muscles are deteriorating or what tests can be done.
Okay, so if somebody is suffering with obesity, remember that gravity works on our bodies as well. So if she's suffering from obesity, this can have a strain on her legs if she's attempting to walk, and this can also cause pain. Now, obesity itself comes with a lot of different other complications, and high blood pressure by itself as well comes with other complications. And we've discussed peripheral arterial disease, all these different things, especially when it comes to somebody who is obese and has high blood pressure. We need to look carefully at the arteries of the leg as well as the leg and the bones and the limbs themselves, because remember, depending on the level of obesity, it can have a strain on the legs and it can cause a lot of pain. Now, in terms of the tests being done, it really is up to her physician, because based on the medical history, we can hone in on what the actual problem is. Is she having problem while she's walking, but at rest she's okay? You know, all these things will hone in to whether it's peripheral arterial disease or whether it's due to the weight of obesity as well. Radiological investigations will definitely be done to see how her bones are looking. Is there any deterioration of the joints? All these things need to be taken into consideration. So obesity itself comes with many complications, but because of the excess weight, that can cause a strain on the legs. So I would suggest that she does go to her physician. If it is so severe that she is complaining about it, definitely she needs to go see her physician and let them assess her appropriately, do the appropriate tests, and manage her as well.
All right, okay, we'll get back to our calls and requests and some of our topics. Did you know today was it today? Is it today?
Yeah, menstrual hygiene day.
Okay.
Today is the 20th. Yes.
Yeah, today.
Today is menstruation hygiene day. I actually spoke on that with LSA last week, Friday.
Okay.
We did a little symposium at Presal High School, and it was very nice. You know, they had like all these girls from different high schools there, and I did a little talk on menstrual hygiene, and it was very nice.
There was actually something on the news last night where there are a lot of females who cannot afford to have like sanitary napkins and stuff, which is very sad. So we're getting back to mental health. Now, a lot of people believe that some of the drugs, like a lot of the marijuana that's out there now, can lead people to mental health issues. You as a doctor, what do you say about that?
So what I would say is that on the cannabis or anything like that to lead to menstrual health, what I do know is that
mental health.
And what I would say is that, yes, I do know that they have a sort of opiate component, meaning that they do provide pain relief, etc., for cancer patients. So we do have those things that are legally prescribed to them. But in terms of the research to say that it leads to mental health problems, we don't have enough data to say that it actually does. And we don't have enough data to say that it doesn't either. Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, I know personally people, some people that you see in the streets right now, they were perfectly fine until they started to do drugs.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree. So it depends on the type of drugs as well, especially those hard drugs or those illicit drugs, drug use as well.
Yeah.
We do see a lot of, you know, these drug-induced schizophrenics coming about as well, especially even people who have used it just once, they do end up becoming quote-unquote schizophrenic, or they do get this effect from drug use. And I know that there are things that are not legalized, but I can't remember the word, but what I would say is that you need to be careful. And even when there are patients that come into the hospital, we do ask about that drug use. But it's not to sell you out to anybody. It's to know that, okay, this could be a component in what is going on with you right now. So this is why, you know, this is always an important point I like to bring up. You should not lie to your doctor. Just let us know. Because when we do the tests anyway, we do find out. So just let us know up front. But yes, there's drug-induced mental health disorders as well. So it is an important topic, but that can go on for days. That actually has a lot of research done into it, especially for things like alcohol, smoking, and other illicit drug use as well.
Yeah.
So definitely, I would say, well, always stay away from drugs, because not just the mental health disorders, the physical components of these things, it gets very ugly.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know that.
All right, what are some of the common physical symptoms that might actually be linked to mental health issues?
So, like we were saying, mental and physical health, they do intertwine. And it's important for us to take care of both equally, because they feed into each other.
Mm.
So if your mental health is not in check, your physical health more than likely will not be in check. And of course, vice versa. Now, some of the physical symptoms that I do see patients complaining about would be things like chronic pain. So remember, we discussed chronic pain yesterday.
Yeah.
So some people may actually experience chronic pain while they are experiencing some sort of mental health issues. So depression, anxiety, all these different things. Fatigue is another one.
Mm-hmm.
So have you ever been so overwhelmed with something, you're just tired and you want to go back to bed, you just want to lie down, you just want to sleep, your body is not taking it anymore? And that is what happens when we overwork our brain. And I would even venture so far as to say mental exhaustion is worse than physical exhaustion, because physical exhaustion, okay, your body is tired, you take a nap and you can get up and you will be fine. But mental exhaustion, your entire brain is tired, and when your brain is tired, your body cannot function.
Mm.
Right? So mental exhaustion plays a very big role in our physical fatigue as well. Some people tend to get digestive problems, and I can speak for myself when I say this.
Mm.
Acid reflux is one of those things that you can get when you are under a lot of stress. There's actually something called stress ulcers that people suffer from.
Mm-hmm.
If they're under so much stress, that can actually build an ulcer in their stomach because of that acid reflux.
Right.
So I have a lot of patients who do experience that as well. And the only real thing that you really need to do is manage your stress.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we need to treat the ulcer too.
Yeah.
But the managing the stress is going to help it from reoccurring.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, headaches and muscle tensions, and of course, migraines.
You spoke about that yesterday.
So we spoke about these things yesterday. For example, somebody with anxiety, and we do get anxiety a lot, especially in the female population and in the younger age groups, we do suffer from anxiety a lot. They may experience palpitations, and that's where you feel your heart physically beating out of your chest, or shortness of breath. While on the other hand, depression, it can manifest as aches, pains, and you may not even know why you're feeling like this, but you're down and you don't want to get up to go to the gym or anything like that. So this is why I'm saying it feeds into each other. It is important for us to take care of both equally.
Mm-hmm. What is the difference between a panic attack and an anxiety attack?
Right. So an anxiety...
Let's take this call. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Doc, what's up?
Good afternoon.
Good man. Besides the drug and illegal drugs.
Yeah.
You see, the toxin in food,
that's
a very serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
It'll harm your body, all your organs, cells, everything. So what's this? When you feel, when parents feel they go to the grocery and they buy like tomato ketchup, which should be made from tomatoes, of course, but it's some kind of concentrate, and it's not tomatoes, and we think it's tomato ketchup. The same thing with garlic sauce.
Mm-hmm.
They're not using garlic again to make garlic. If you use garlic to make garlic sauce, that's very good. But they're using mayonnaise and other things to make garlic sauce, and fooling me, damaging the system of cells and all them things inside the body, thinking it's something good.
Mm.
There's nothing. I thanks a lot for the topic.
Yes, no problem. So he's completely right. I mean, processed foods definitely is something we always say is a no-no, but it is something that we also can't escape. So we do need to make better choices for ourselves, and sometimes we need to pick and choose what we're eating. I even watched a Netflix documentary a few months ago.
What the health?
You are what you eat.
Yeah. And what the health? Is.
Yes. So they were talking about romaine lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
And how there's so much, and everybody stated that romaine lettuce was the one thing that they would never eat,
mm-hmm.
and it's because of the amount of bacteria and toxins that are in it. So, I mean, we never know what is being.
Nothing in good to eat this day. Best to eat here.
So I do a lot of research on food and, of course, in terms of health and how it will affect our bodies. And there was a research that was being done stating that frozen fruits and vegetables are better to eat because the ones that we see in the market, or we don't know what fertilizers they sprayed. Once they've picked those frozen fruits and vegetables, they're freeze-dried and they maintain all their nutrients and all these things. I cannot speak on that topic. I'm not a nutritionist or a dietitian, but it was a very interesting thing for me.
Well, somebody always told me that sometimes you go to buy vegetables, especially like lettuce, and you don't like to see like the insect bites and that kind of. But that is actually the best one to buy.
Yeah,
be spread. All right. So of course, we're talking mental health, folks. You're with Dr. Brittany Dean. This is the Lunchtime Doctor. Also, well, we spoke about anxiety and depression. Can that also contribute to the chronic illnesses?
Right. So. Mental health conditions, things like anxiety, depression.
So anxiety and depression are considered mental health.
Yes, yeah. So this is what I'm saying. Mental health surpasses so many things, so many barriers of what we actually know it is. We tend to think it's only schizophrenia or bipolar and all these things, all these psychiatric conditions that we are familiar with, you know? But mental health encompasses mood disorders, personality disorders, substance misuse disorders. So all that falls under mental health. Alcohol misuse, drug misuse, all these things fall under mental health conditions. So it is a very broad topic, and that is why it is important for us to break the stigma surrounding it, because people who suffer with depression or anxiety, they do have mental health disorders. But there's nothing wrong with saying that you do suffer with a mental health disorder, the same way that some people may say, I have diabetes or I have high blood pressure. So yes, mental health conditions, things like anxiety and depression, will contribute to chronic illnesses. And what we've found is that they actually weaken our immune system and our body becomes a lot more susceptible to infections, and they're slower to recover. And to top it off, when you have disorders like depression, you do not even have the urge to get yourself up or to get yourself active. So this is why it is important to get the help that you need. And if you do realize, I'm falling into this slump where I just want to stay in bed for 3 days, or I don't have any interest in doing anything anymore, or you have no interest in socializing, it is important to seek help.
What about people who are just introverted? Is that
introversion is not
to be by yourself.
No, right. So some people do like to be by themselves, but when it starts to affect your daily life, or when it starts to have a social impact, for example, you do not feel the need to get up out of bed, or you don't feel happy anymore. Nothing brings you joy. Nothing interests you. Then it becomes a problem, you know, because it's not normal human interaction for us to stay by ourselves or to stay socially isolated. But yes, some people do love to stay by themselves. I love my alone time. I like to sit down and watch Netflix. But then, yes, sitting down and watching Netflix is great. You love spending time by yourself. But there's a difference between that and feeling no interest in even watching the Netflix, or just in this slump, or you're just not feeling happy, or you actually cannot feel happy. Then it becomes a problem. Right. You don't want to be social with anybody. You don't want to even want to be social with yourself. So it does become a problem, especially when it becomes something that impacts your daily life. Then it is important for us to take into consideration this may actually be a mental health issue, especially if it's impacting or impeding your daily activities. Right. So that is one of those criteria that we use when we are diagnosing mental health disorders.
Yeah. Well, now, before we took the break, remember, I was asking you the difference between a panic attack and an anxiety attack.
Right. So a panic attack and an anxiety attack, they're about the same thing, right? What I would say is that anxiety or general anxiety, generalized anxiety disorder, is a chronic condition. So people are in this state of heightened stress, or they do experience the physical symptoms, the chronic pain, all that throughout months. A panic attack usually has a trigger. So, for example, the fire drill. If somebody hears that fire drill go off and they start to feel tizzic and they start to hyperventilate and they get shortness of breath and the palpitations, that would be a panic attack. There is a trigger before it. Generalized anxiety itself does not really have a trigger. It's just that heightened state of being anxious or being stressed out on a daily basis. So there's no real trigger towards it.
Mm-hmm. Hi, folks, we take a short break and we'll be right back. Dr. Brittany Dean, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, 18 minutes away from 1 o'clock. Remember, LSA Healthcare Services Limited is that commercial hygiene service provider with 20 years plus experience in the industry. LSA's goal is to change the culture of hygiene by educating their clients about hygiene solutions for all spaces. Hygiene is essential for all organizations, staff, and customers' well-being. Is your business committed to high standards of hygiene? Check them out for the latest innovation in hands-free sanitary bins, hand washing solutions, odor control systems, hand towel and jumbo toilet paper dispensers, sanitization dispensers, janitorial cleaning, and fogging sanitization. Contact LSA Health Care at 675-3466 for a free assessment. Visit their website at lsahealthcare.com and social media pages on Facebook, IG, and LinkedIn. LSA Healthcare Services Limited, your partner in hygiene solutions. And of course, Menstrual Hygiene Day reminds us that menstruation is not a luxury, it's a natural part of life. Let's work towards a world where every woman and girl can manage her period safely and with dignity. LSA Healthcare Services Limited, official partner of the Menstrual Hygiene Day. We're coming back. Yes, folks, we're back with Dr. Brittany Dean. We're talking about mental health issues. Now, are people born, mentally ill with that condition, or does it happen over a period of time?
So what I would say is that there are several mental health disorders that have a genetic predisposition. And what that means is that if you have a family history of it, then more than likely you may have, you may develop it over time. For example, something like schizophrenia, and these are the psychiatric disorders. We're not talking about the mood disorders that, you know, a lot of people may experience every day. In the terms of the psychiatric disorders, so things like schizophrenia, we've seen that if somebody had a relative with it, then sometimes the child ends up getting schizophrenia. And it is more dominant in males, and you would usually see it occurring in the younger age group of males. That doesn't mean that females don't get it. In terms of the mood disorders, yes, as well, there is a genetic component, but there's also an environmental component, and in terms of your lifestyle as well.
Let's take a call here. Hello, good afternoon. Hello? All right, somebody was trying to call there. 627-3223, 625-2257. Sorry, we lost the caller. Of course, let's try again. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks again, Doc.
Good afternoon.
Palpitation. Mm-hmm. How long can it last? Very long it could last. And I know just your heart beating very fast. That's palpitation. But how long will it last and can it kill you? Thanks again, we listen.
No problem. So there's a difference between palpitations and your heart beating fast. And yes, your heart beating fast, this is called tachycardia. And we usually say that your heart is beating over 100 beats per minute. Remember, the normal is about 60 to 80 beats per minute. So once you're beating over 100 beats per minute, then we say that you're in tachycardia and your heart is beating fast. This does not have to be... It can be a cause for palpitations, but palpitations is actually the feeling, like you can actually feel your heart beating hard in your chest. So that is the difference between palpitations and tachycardia. So tachycardia, while it's beating fast, you can get palpitations with it, meaning you can feel the heartbeat and you can feel it pounding in your chest. We usually ask patients to decipher this if their heart is actually beating out of their chest, if they can feel their heart beating against the wall of their chest. Now, in terms of is it normal and what's a normal range, palpitations is never actually normal. You know, it can be a response to something, whether it be an environmental response, for example, I'm going to use the fire drill again. If you get a trigger like that and somebody suffers from panic attacks and this is their trigger and they start to feel that palpitation. So that is not a normal response. So nobody's sitting around every day feeling a very strong heartbeat unless you've had a heart condition that has been diagnosed, etc. And of course, tachycardia, these things can happen throughout, whether you are working out, if you're doing strenuous exercise, all these different things. But of course, it's supposed to subside, especially if you're doing strenuous exercise. The palpitations and the high, the tachycardia is supposed to subside maybe about a minute after you sit down, a minute or two after you sit down. So it's not supposed to be something that is constant. If it is constant, you should go and get it checked out and make sure that everything is okay with the heart. They will do some radiological investigations. They will do a history and exam freeze, of course. And they may do something called an echo, where they actually take something sort of an ultrasound of the heart. Mm-hmm.
Message coming in here. I have a history of mental abuse as a child, and lately I've noticed I get very angry and want to break everything in my way. Mm-mm. And then a little while later, I am normal again. What can I do to help myself?
Okay, so this is a very important topic in terms of mental health, right? Mental abuse is essentially when somebody plays on your mindset. We see this a lot with intertwined personality disorders. So somebody who suffers with narcissistic personality disorder may latch on to somebody who is an empath, and they may psychologically abuse them or emotionally abuse them. And this has a very big lasting impact. And those who have suffered physical abuse, unfortunately, will also suffer that mental and emotional abuse as well. And it lasts for years. It does. It really does last for years, unless you decide. And some people don't get out of it because they don't receive the help that they need. But what I can tell you is that for you to break out of this mindset or this mentality or the cycle of mental abuse, yes, people do suffer with anxiety, depression and stuff after, but it is very important that you do seek therapy. And people see therapy as sometimes they see it as a bad thing. They think, I'm not crazy, I don't need to go to therapy. But therapy is not just for that. There's things called cognitive behavioral therapy, where they actually teach you how to manage your emotions, how to hone that anger or hone that frustration and turn it into something positive. Turn your pain into power, or your pain into a passion. And it is important for you to introduce these sides of yourself as well, because you can't lock away your past forever. I mean, it will show up subconsciously in things that you do in your everyday life. And I've seen it happen. I've experienced it myself, because nobody is immune. I mean, you can't live your life fully happy. And we have to be realistic about that. I mean, sometimes when somebody is overly happy, you need to you also need to dig deep and find out what is going on. Mm. So my advice will definitely be to get yourself a therapist, or even talk to people that you trust about the issues. Talking itself is an outlet for people suffering with mental health issues like anxiety, depression, especially anger. It is a big talking point. So when you go to anger management classes, they teach you how to talk about your problems rather than yell or shout or scream in frustration. So it is important to have an outlet to express yourself in a positive way.
A lot of times with mental health issues, that where the family members are wrong, it could be a lot of denial. Because sometimes you might be seeing some strange actions in your children. Like your children might be maybe killing a cat or a dog or doing certain things, you know?
Well.
And then you're not doing anything about it.
No, right. And this is where it becomes so important to know about certain things, because all these things fall under mental health issues, and that is actually a personality disorder, mm-hmm. and it's called antisocial personality disorder. And there's a triad. I mean, these are just fun facts. I mean, we're not talking about it, but these are things that you can look out for in childhood: bedwetting, if they are abusive to animals, and if they like to start fires. Oh, and I mean, there are children who like to start fires, but once you have a triad like that, there's some, especially being abusive towards animals, it is very important that you do take your child to a therapist or you do take your child to a doctor, because it becomes a big problem, because that is not in our nature. Our nature is to be comforting to animals or to other beings. It is not to cause any harm or to cause any type or to be abusive in any way to any other living creature. So it's definitely something that, and I'm talking to the parents of children here, or even if they've noticed it in a peer or if they've noticed it in a friend, it is important to help that person get help.
And what about postpartum or depression?
Postpartum depression. Yes, of course. I mean, you see, there's so many disorders that we cannot actually go through all of them. Mm. There's a whole book that is written and updated every single year about this. And what I would say is that postpartum depression and postpartum psychosis it becomes very important to look out for, especially in the partners of these women. It becomes so important because you may find that she does not want to touch the baby. She does not want to be a part of the baby's life for that period. And it's because the hormones, our hormones always go out of whack for some reason. And I'm not saying this happens to every single pregnant woman, but there are some people who are predisposed to it, and it's important to look for warning signs. And
what are the warning signs?
So especially if they are having, so for in terms of postpartum psychosis, I would definitely say if they are being harmful towards the baby instead of comforting, if they're having hallucinations, delusions, if they are forgetting, all these things come into play. If the person is not acting how they were before when they were pregnant or prior to that, then it becomes a big issue. If you find that they are not being themselves, definitely. Postpartum depression actually presents itself like normal depression. They lose interest in everything. I mean, they lose interest in their baby. They don't want to be next to anybody. They want to be socially isolated. So it is things that we have to look out for. It comes the same way as psychosis and depression normally. It just happens after you have given birth.
All right. One more thing. What about OCD?
Obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah.
Right.
Clean,
so these... So I mean, a lot of people who like to have their place clean, they tend to think they have OCD, but that, no, yeah.
OCD
becomes
a lot more. Yeah,
it's a lot more.
Some people tell me I am OCD just because I like things clean.
No,
but OCD is like you have this here and it have to be a particular way.
Yes,
like
exactly.
This, like that, you know,
so that's when the thought becomes intrusive, when it becomes a hindrance to your daily life.
Right.
Then we can say that this becomes a problem. This becomes a diagnosable disorder. Mm. And for example, people with OCD, they need to have things done a certain way. Mm. So they will actually be late for work because they are constantly going back and checking something, or it becomes a hindrance to their daily life. Mm. And the thoughts are so intrusive, they need to have this done or else they will suffer some kind of stress. Mm. So I don't know if you've ever seen the show Monk.
Yeah, Monk. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's an example of somebody with obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah. And then another one, hoarders.
All these things fall under mental health disorders, right? Mm. And hoarders, like we are seeing in every single one, it becomes a hindrance to your daily life. Mm. So the entire room will be filled because they attach sentiment to each object that they have. And it really is a problem. It's not that these people are dirty. It's not that they like to keep their place dirty. It is an actual problem. The thoughts are also intrusive, like in obsessive compulsive disorder. And it really does become a problem for their daily life because they cannot function in a space like that, but they also cannot find themselves detaching from certain objects. So therapy becomes very important when we're talking about hoarders or people with OCD and actually doing certain practices or practicing certain actions every day to help them break out of this mindset.
All right, seconds, and that wraps up our show for today, talking about the many different aspects of mental health. And I know we could go on and on and on.
Yes, we can.
So many things. All right, so catch you tomorrow, folks. Tomorrow, Wednesday, of course, final day of the work week. It's a short week and holidays are coming. You've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor with Dr. Brittany Dean right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangi 106.1 and Sky 99.5. Do enjoy the rest of your day.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.